Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your Yarn in Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Like to take this opportunity, run this teeth, and for somebody else, good morning. Like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from, and to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country of ours. Welcome back to National Talk Black. Have your saying yarn up strong, you mob, too deadly. Right, we're going to jump straight into it. Going to catch up a yarn there with Anik Thomason and also Jacinta Baragood, okay, and their chief investigators of the JZK project. And that's the Japan Zenith Kes project. It's about reconnecting Zenith Kes communities with a unique body of research scholarship created by a team of Japanese researchers about Zenith Kes societies and environment 50 years ago. The project responds to the call for the return of research through a robust partnership and traditional owners to return the research. Look, we talk about the Big Island, Australia. It has got a history, black or white, good or bad, but the history is history, and history needs to come forth. And we are yarning with these deadly sisters about this fantastic space and connection with our Japanese brothers and sisters. And a very good morning, ladies. How are we?
Very good, thanks.
Yeah, good. Thank you very much for coming to the program. We'll start with you, Jacinta. Who your mob, where you from?
Yeah, hello to all our listeners out there here on Gimui. Mm-hmm. My name is Jacinta Baragood. I'm from Yam Island in the Torres Strait, Kulkalgal Nation. I've also got connection to Murray Island, Kamera Nation as well.
Beautiful, fantastic. And big shout out to all your mob. Fantastic. And beside you, acting as your bodyguard, you could say, Anik Thomason. Who's Anik Thomason?
Hi, everyone. I'm from Quebec City in Canada, okay. The land of the Wendat and Wabanaki and Abenaki people.
Beautiful.
And that's where the...
Okay, thank you. So how did you connect? How did this come about? And how important is a JZK project?
The project came about quite a few years ago when my colleague Julie Lan and I, we had to engage with some of the work that this team of Japanese people had done back in the 70s. But yes. It was quite hard to get access to anything that they were producing because it was everything was in Japanese. So part of it was translated. It was quite interesting. But we thought eventually... because some people in the Torres Strait wanted to reconnect with the material.
Yes.
We thought it would be good to have everything translated.
Yes.
And then Julie Lan found a lot of photos in Osaka in Japan, and we went back to try to repatriate as much things that we could. We went through 9,000 photos, found about 2,000 about the Torres Strait. Yeah, and got more now since.
Like I said, Australia's got a history, and when we talk about the connection with the war back at that time, and Japanese pilots, fighters ended up in the Torres Straits, a lot of them stayed there after the war and became a home. I know a lot of connection with Japanese people, with Torres Strait Islanders, become marriage. Marriages that perform, children perform, and strong Japanese names still carry strong today in the Torres Straits. Can you elaborate on that, please, and Jacinta?
Thank you for that. I guess like the history we have with the Japanese goes way back into the 1800s, and I think through this project you can see the relationship, the connectness through it. You know, the Japanese researchers at that time in the 70s when they went to the Torres Strait, they were really interested in the culture, how people were living. Mm-hmm. It was an interesting time as well in the region. There was a lot of political change. Yes. PNG got their independence. So the border, I guess, negotiation was happening at that time. They were there. There was a lot of economic changes, mm-hmm. and also the social changes as well within the region. So it was an important time, I guess.
Sure.
That Torres Strait was facing, mm-hmm. when the researchers was there. So they captured a lot of that, what was happening. So they were more interested with the people that was living there at the time. And also, like you've mentioned, there was families that settled and lived, particularly on Thursday Island through the pearling time.
Yes.
So they also made connection to those family as well.
Pearl divers as well, yeah, because when you look at Japan, the similarity to how the Torres Strait Island people lived, to how the Japanese people lived, they were on big islands themselves, mm-hmm. weren't they, Japan, when you look at Japan. You mentioned PNG, and if it wasn't for the Fuzzy Wuzzies, you know, I mean, big shout out to the Fuzzy Wuzzies and all their ancestors that protected the big island Australia when the war was on. And as I said, when the war was over, some Japanese soldiers stayed there with the Torres Straits and made it their home. And the Torres Strait Island people embraced them and welcomed them in. And like I said, married into Torres Strait Island people and produced their own children and their families. And like their names are strong there in the Torres Straits, isn't it?
Yeah, we've met a few families on Thursday Island, the Fujis,
Shibusaki, the Nakatas, we're probably forgetting some.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. There's a big string of names, you know.
Yeah.
And we talk about the foundation that they've built regarding the economy in the Torres Straits as well. Would it be anything dealing with the water, fishing or diving or what have you, all different industries. So the strong, I mean, you even look at the NRL. There's a couple of Japanese Torres Strait Island footballers that are playing in the NRL at the elite level in rugby league.
Yep. Yep.
So, you know, it's very strong and just shows the foundation and the connection of Japanese people with the Torres Straits, with Australia, you could say.
Yeah.
I suppose, yeah, and especially because it's really interesting because this project, just because of that Japanese connection, so we're trying... As part of the project, we're trying to get voices from elders and even younger people who live through this period of change. But each time you mention that it's the Japan, like a team of Japanese people who were doing the research, straight away they think, oh, pearling industry. So they went back to even further before the pearling industry collapsed in the 60s. And so basically we get so many stories about like pearl farming that was happening across the Torres Strait, visiting a lot of sites like that. Got a few nice songs that people sung to us as well. They still remember. And it's kind of the presence of the Japanese is still there in the food. We think about the saukoro and
namas.
Yes, exactly. Makes my mouth water here.
and you know, like the fearlessness of the Japanese tree, like that we're diving at Darnley Deep, it's still like such a you know, an influence in the Torres Strait, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, from our work at the moment, speaking to elders and people in community, it's that relationship that was built between the Japanese people and our people, like the Torres Strait Islanders. And I think what brings that strong connection is that culture.
Yes.
Each country or each nation has and the similarities. So, you know, when the Japanese people came to Torres Strait, you know, they were welcomed.
Exactly.
And, you know, they respected the Torres Strait way of living without, you know, disturbing any of the practices, although, you know, they, you know, showed them the man on the boats how to, you know, work on those lugger boats or how to cook, which, you know, today that still continues up in the Torres Strait and even on wherever you go here in Australia.
Exactly. And as I said, Australia's got a history, you know, good or bad, black or white, or what have you. But there is the Japanese connection there. And then for those Deadly listeners just tuned in, Trendy Trev here, Murray from the Curry with National Talk Black, having a Deadly Yarn here with Jacinta Burragood and also Annick Thomason and their chief investigators of the JZK project. And that's a Japan Zenith Cast project. So there's the connection in regarding Japanese history in the Torres Straits and still strong and vibrant today, you know. So we talk about our black people of this country, Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander people, we are storytellers. And so we tell the story. I mean, talk about truth telling. This is truth. This is the story. This is live. This is the story coming to life, you could say. Can I ask about the connection to the Japanese? You're saying that research was done back through Japan as well in regarding to families living in Torres Straits? Is that right?
No, it was more like... we're not... We still investigated that part.
Sure. Okay.
Where there was a lot of teams of researchers that came around that period in the 70s. They went to multiple communities in Australia, other communities, I think, in Arnhem Land and other places. And they went all over the world. So it was a post-war, I suppose, kind of mission to reconnect with the world. And
sure.
So this team, there was about 10 of them that came to the Torres Strait, and it was really about... trying to understand everyday life in the Torres Strait. So that's really interesting what they collected. It was they documented everything, like from the architecture of the time. Mm. There was still a lot of leaf house, for example. They documented how people were doing the fisheries, and that was a transition from the pearl industry, from the trucker shell diving. Up to now, we had the kayar, the tropical rock lobster fisheries that were happening, and prawning and mackerel and stuff like that, all the new ways of doing. And all of a sudden, people started to have airstrip on the island. So there was connection and a lot more movement between islands and between the islands and the mainland. Trade was starting to change with PNG because of like the new border that was being established. So it was... really interesting, and people remember that time with a lot of fondness. Some of them, remember the Japanese people also who came to do these interviews. And they remember a time that was quite hard because there was no electricity on the island, no running water. They were talking about how. You know, gardening, carrying out water.
Whitestrobe would call it deserted islands. But the traditional owners would think, this is life.
Yes, it's life.
And this is how we live life.
Yeah, it was a struggle, but they were happy.
Exactly.
They were really happy.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I think that's the main message of the whole thing. It was hard time, but good time.
Then you talk about the two different cultures colliding. When you talk about Japanese, living there after the war and then bringing their knowledge of their life from their islands to the Torres Straits, the similarity, but also learning off each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're the family connection, and the powerful four-letter word love, and then producing pickaninnies and Japanese Torres Strait Island mix, and fantastic, a fairy tale, you could say, more ways than one. Yeah.
Yeah.
So with this, how many on board? Just the two of you ladies on board with this project?
Oh no, we're. Quite a big team, actually.
Yeah. Big team, yes. Big shout out to the team, yes.
Yeah, where shout they all based? Out to the team.
Yes.
There's actually 10 of us now in total. So there's myself. I'm a research officer on the project.
Yes.
We've got Annick Thomason here.
Yeah, and Julie Lan and I are based at the Australian National University. Mm-hmm. Samantha Faulkner is with us as well as one of the principal investigators. And then, we have... we're one of the project who's covering every single island in the Torres Strait. So it's so it's really a big job. So we are lucky to have like five at the moment community-based researchers.
Is there a Japanese counterpart there?
We work with people at in Osaka, Minpaku, the Museum of Ethnology over there. So so we have like connections there, and there's Sarah Kataoji based in Melbourne, who's the daughter of one of the researchers that was on Mare and Bamaga and elsewhere.
Whoa.
Who's like actually returning a lot of the material.
So we're talking about grandchildren telling the stories.
Yes,
you
exactly.
know what I mean? And the stories, and that's how we as First Nation people, we pass those stories along, don't we? Mm. Yeah, and through dance and through art and you know, through songs and what have you.
Yeah.
And that becomes the vehicle to keep the story alive. Mm. So it's mind blowing. I've got goosebumps here. Yeah. Fantastic girls. Yes. And going to you, Jacinta, as a First Nation woman, Torres Strait woman, how did you come about this? Were you approached, or were you at uni, or were you eating some curry chicken from Japan at a Japanese restaurant, and it all started? Tell us your story.
Absolutely. How I became part of this project was I was living in Canberra, so I moved from Cairns, Gimu, down to Canberra. I was working for a federal organisation, Australian Federal Police at the time, and I knew Anik on a personal note.
Yes.
And so at the time she was telling me about this project, so they were going to apply for this funding with the Australian Research Council.
And your eyes lit up?
Yeah, I was like, at the time as well, because it was, you know, post-COVID.
Sure.
I was missing my families with the lockdowns. I couldn't travel up. So I felt that need that, how can I connect back to where I'm from, the Torres Strait, which is the other end of the country.
Story, this history became your connection back to your family and to your island home.
It was.
Yes,
and it beautiful. Brought me back here to Cairns, and I'm actually moving up to the Torres Strait. So
beautiful. Yeah, fantastic. So with the findings, are we going to write a book here or create a film, or what are we going to do with this information?
All of this.
And it should be in the museums of this country. All museums, you know, in regarding the history of Australia. So should it not? So what are we going to do with this information, girls?
Well, like there's different things that we're doing. So soon we'll have an exhibition in Canberra with like the first kind of bits of interviews.
You've got a date there?
12th of June.
12th of June.
Will be the opening. And it's on for about 2 weeks.
Sure.
We'll be after that coming. So there'll be... photographs displayed, some stories and some films.
Yes.
We're going to the Zenat Cultural Festival in September to continue these exhibitions.
Yes.
And after that, we are going to a symposium in Japan to present about the project and about the how we've done that and the relationship it created.
Of course, there'd be strong conversations with their elders on the islands and Torres Straits who've got plenty of yarn, you know. And happy to come and share that yarn. Yes, you'd find that.
It's been beautiful.
It's been it's been a great opportunity.
Beautiful.
Like I've been near down mainland for a long time, and just going back and hearing those stories, it just fills my heart.
Yeah, beautiful. And as we know, we have our yarns with our elders who are our mentors, our masters, who've got plenty of story. You know, and so we talk about the history. So we talk about the Japanese history. They would have those stories. And to bring it to the surface, you know, probably not thinking much of it, but the fact that you've got a JZK project, now it's coming to the surface. The stories and the yarns are strong now.
Yeah, you absolutely.
Know? And it's a part of their life as well.
Yeah, and I'd like to mention, I mean, with our project, we partnered with Garabadara Cod, which is GBK, Torres Strait Land and Sea Council.
Yes.
And they've been really amazing with supporting us.
Forthcoming,
going to up when we visit the Torres Strait, giving us that cultural advice as well.
Beautiful.
And T-Circ was pretty welcoming as well and helpful when we're on the island. And we've got
this. This is exciting. So thank you. So 12th of June, there will be a launch of the stories in Canberra. Is that right?
Yeah. And so just maybe quickly, on our Facebook page, there's a link to what we call a story map.
Okay.
And so that will...
Under JZK?
Yeah.
Facebook page?
A new JZK project, I think.
Yeah.
So if you go on that page, there's a link to a story map where we'll be building the stories as we go. So adding film, music, because we've recorded music as well. And when we publish our book, that's going to be announced there as well. But there's going to be a strong online presence, because one of the goals was that these stories are alive, and that especially the Piknini, as you said, have access to it. Their phone. So the story is building, and we, as the story is building, we'll be posting it and developing it online as well, so people can have access to it wherever they are.
Well, Gengi Deska and Big Esso. Thank you, ladies. Fantastic. There's a connection there. JZK, Japan Zenith Kes Project. So fantastic. And the story, the history of the Torres Straits and the connection with our Japanese brothers and sisters who are now families. Yes. Thank you for the yarn, ladies. Beautiful yarn. Please do keep in touch. So you can check out the Facebook page, JZK. Yep. And also there's a date claim in there, 12th of June in Canberra. And that's going to be held where?
At the gallery in Cambry, which is on the Australian National University campus.
So all you rugby league players shooting down to Canberra, watch the Canberra Raiders play. There you go. Go along to the museum and check that out. And like I said, I know there's a couple of Japanese Torres Strait Islander players there with Canberra Raiders as well. So a big shout out there to the mob. But thank you, ladies, and all the best, and good sharing with you. Fantastic.
Aweso. Kaimeso. If there's, I just wanted to do a shout out. If there's any Torres Strait Islander families, elders here in Gimui, that remembers any of the Japanese researchers, or can have a yarn to us what life was like in the 70s, please get in contact with us. I'm currently here in Cairns. Good. You'll see me around. You know who I am. Come and have a yarn with me.
Beautiful. Well. Spread the love. Ladies, thank you very much, and all the best to you. Thank you.
Esso.
Bye-bye. Beautiful yarn there, and that's lovely yarn there with Anik Thomason and also Jacinta Barragud, chief investigators of the JZK project, the Japan Zenith Kes project. Look, fantastic. History is history, and true history in the Torres Straits, and with our brothers and sisters from Japan who remained on the islands in the Torres Straits after the war and made it their home, and the connection is second to none. And you wouldn't believe, my next song I got here is Up in the Sky, and that's Izzy Shibasaki. There it is. Check it out, you mob, too deadly.
Up in the sky, so far away, there is a place for everyone. Moon and the stars, they always shine out on that ocean way. And as the lazy wave rolls by, breezes blowing memories. Oh yes, yes, somewhere there's joy, somewhere there's sorrow. Out on the sea, it's always the same to me. Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Where the wild, wild Wangai tree grows? Are you from Torres Strait? Any place, including St. Paul Way? Any place and just around by Mabio Bay? Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Well, I'm from TI too. Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Where the wild, wild Wangai tree grows? Are you from Torres Strait? Any place, including St. Paul Way? Any place and just around by Mabio Bay? Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Well, I'm from TI too. Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Well, I'm from TI too.
We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416, 98.7 FM, BBM.
Eddie on the track.
Until you fall asleep, I won't stay awake too long. Can't wait to see you in my dreams. Man, it's so heavy. As long as you get me to be a part of your dream, and I'm sleeping as long as you let me. As long as you let me be a part of your dream, and I'm sleeping.
Sweat and sacrifice, did it twice, run it back. A little bit of fire in my eyes, the beat is right, I'll dance to that. A little bit of patience and you're fine. Everybody's waiting in the line for a little bit of sweat and a real good sign. You know I worked myself to the bone. The night's too young to leave it alone. No, I'm not gonna waste it at home. I'm tonight, out tonight.
Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
They know.
Yeah, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidindi Country. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS National Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, you can text the brother, 0457140550, or our Facebook page, well, BBM 987 FM. All right, which way are you yarning? That's the next segment, and that's with the QPS, Queensland Police. And we have in the studio with us Police Liaison Officer Stephen Grant, and he's acting as bodyguard to Cape Inspector, Cape York Inspector David Rutherford. And a very good morning, gentlemen. How are we?
Good morning, Trevor.
Good, good, great.
Fantastic. Great to see you both. Start with you, Stevie. Who your mob? Where you from?
Yeah, Trevor. I'm proud Jitterbug boy from the Wet Tropics area of the Mission Beach Tully Cardball footprint.
Yes, footprint, Gumboot City.
Correct.
Yep, wet. Mm-hmm. And over to Cape York Inspector David Rutherford. Who's David Rutherford? Give us the background.
Oh, well, grew Inspector. A Brisbane boy, grew up in Brisbane.
Yes.
Before I even turned 20, went and started the police academy.
Yes.
Since then, worked all over the state.
Yes.
And currently here on looking after the Cape.
And looking after the Cape. So how long have you been wearing the blue uniform for, David?
Next week, 39 years since I started the academy.
Congratulations. Congratulations. And so as an inspector, Cape York, that's a big footprint. Talking about footprint, what does your job entail, and what do you do in that space?
Well, there's six police divisions that I look after, taking in eight communities. So yes. I look after Mapoon, Weeper, Napranum, Lockhart, Cowan, Aracoon, Pomperow and Cowan Yama.
Okay, beautiful. Yes, yes, yes. So you would be senior to all the senior sergeant officers at those communities.
Yeah, that's right. That all works? Those stations that have places where have police stations, I'm the boss of the sergeants of those stations.
Okay, sure. And so how long you been in this role?
Coming up on 2 years
coming
now.
Coming up on 2 years. So there was someone in your place before you came along? Or did
Yep. There's okay. been a Cape Inspector based in Weeper for now, going on since about 2011.
11, and that's where you're based, Weeper?
Yep, I'm based in Weeper,
So we live in a big country. We don't realise it until we start driving it and flying it. Mm. So that is a big footprint when we talk about Cape York.
Oh, yeah.
So you must have a lot of flights and a lot of drives. I mean, we are in technology, 21st century, but we can do Zooms. But the face-to-face you mentioned off air is very important.
Yeah, I think it's really important to get out into the community and actually see the people and let them have their chance to have a yarn with you and see what you like. Not just, you know how Zoom meetings work. They're often very official.
Yes.
Better to sit there and have a cup of tea with people.
Yeah,
and
there you go, a cup of tea, put the kettle on and have a yarn. Yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
Exactly. So under that would be the police liaison officers under those police stations. So there's connection as well for our First Nation officers as well.
Absolutely. We've got positions for police liaison officers in all those stations up there.
Beautiful.
Plus we've got positions for police liaison officers up in Mapoon as well.
Good, good. So we talk about here we are, the beautiful state of Queensland, the Sunshine State. I think I've asked the question before, Steve, that we don't have like police liaison officers in other states and territories, do we?
No, I think it's only in Queensland.
We are leading from the front, aren't we, in Queensland?
We are great.
I think it's a fantastic ingredient. It's a fantastic platform.
Sure.
And we're talking about bridge building. We're talking about cultural awareness.
Sure.
And dealing with First Nation people.
Correct.
And with authority, it's a nice bridge builder.
Yeah, absolutely. And they form a great part of building the bridges.
Yes.
We're also recently, you know, in the last year or so, working with the First Nations Division as well to try and improve the cultural capability of our staff across Queensland who work in those discrete communities and currently being led by Superintendent Brent Jenkins as the senior police officer in the First Nations Division.
You share that, Brent? Yep,
Brent,
fantastic.
Downtown sunny Brisbane.
There is. So it's a team effort to make it all work, you know. And then as we talked before, Steve, a police liaison officer can become a police officer if
that
they want
correct.
To go,
that
go
is
to
correct.
The next step. So there's opportunities there.
That is correct.
It's a fantastic career pathway for our Indigenous officers.
It really does help. And also at the moment we're bringing in senior protective service officers across a lot of our communities. So they have those. We're looking to employ people from the community to assist the police and the government generally with protection of government buildings. So at the moment in the Cape, we have those officers up in Lockhart and also up at Bamaga. There's the same at Yarrabah around Cairns as well.
Yes.
I've been involved in that project for almost 5 years because prior to this role, I was the officer in charge of Palm Island.
Palm Island, okay.
And so Palm Island's had...
How long were you there, Palm Island?
11 years.
11 years. 11 okay. years. Okay, beautiful.
So, and so we had up to 15 senior protective security officers on Palm Island looking after the school and the health facilities.
Yes.
And it's that's a great connection because they know the people of the town.
Exactly.
And so, and also often their uncles and aunts of the people wandering around. So
sure.
can help there and making sure people are keeping to the straight and narrow.
So it's a beautiful platform, you know, cultural awareness, strong strength, and it's about having that communication, you know.
Absolutely.
When we talk about First Nation people, when we talk about black on black, you know, when we're dealing that way, there's good communications and good understandings there, you know what I mean?
And the good thing
for the QPS to take that on board, that's a great ingredient.
Yeah, with the inspector's role up there, obviously he's got a lot of knowledge coming from, like you just said, from Palm Island to Cape York. Cape York, in the areas up at Weeper and Appenham.
Yep.
Obviously, he's got a lot of experience.
We say white on the outside, black on the inside. He walked a mile in their moccasins, so to speak, you know. Now we're brothers and sisters, which is so, so very important, you know. Looks like a great opportunity. With that, when you're there for 2 years, did they give you a time slot to how long you stayed there, or is it your call? Or?
Well, it has a two-year tenure, but you can stay on after that time.
So you're looking at extending, or
looking at staying on, yeah. It's a great part of the world, isn't it? Great place to work.
It is.
Like you say, do a lot of miles in the car, getting around and having a look at all the parts of the Cape.
Yeah, sure. Fantastic. You got to be a bit of a fisherman, don't you?
Oh, I wish I had more time for fishing, to
thank
be honest.
You, sorry, yeah, thank you. Let's not go there. You know?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
it's a good pastime, but it is fantastic. So you're here in Cairns. You got some work in Cairns at the moment?
At the moment, working down here in Cairns for a couple of months, just doing some work, more strategic type work at our regional office, which is based here in Cairns.
Okay, rightio. And you're here for a couple of months? You're here,
end of March, I'll head back up to the Cape.
Yeah, all right. Fantastic. So, Steve, thank you very much for bringing in Inspector Dave Rutherford, and sharing with us the idea and how it all works in regard to the operations in the Cape. And we always thought there was just senior sergeant in charge of the community station.
It's like our superintendent in Brisbane there, Mr. Jenkins. Suggested this idea to bring Mr. Rutherford on, so
Brisbane
Controls.
Well, paints a bigger picture and how it all works, you know.
Absolutely.
I mean, we talked about Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay at Edmonton Police, who's a part of this program for many years.
10 years.
Yeah, there you go. 10 years. Thank you. The show's been running for. Big shout out to ex-former police officer Robbie Hollingsworth, PLO, police liaison officer, who got the ball running. And here it is running strong today.
Correct.
So he's, I'm talking about Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay as the officer in charge at Edmonton.
Correct.
Has gone to do some work in the Torres Strait, in the Cape York.
That is.
And then he became acting.
Yep.
Well, you were his senior, were you not?
Yeah, yeah.
You would,
right.
Yeah. So,
around that time.
So there's, boss, how many different inspectors we got in the in that far northern region?
There's about eight.
Okay, right.
And they all sort of share the same role as I do, where they oversee.
So there's eight of you in the Cape York, you're saying?
Don't take me 100% on eight. Off the top of my head, there's around eight.
Well, who's the senior out of all that?
Oh, no, we're all at the same level.
Level.
And then on top of that, we have superintendent. Chief Superintendent, and also
And they're
an
based
assistant.
Where in Brisbane?
No, here in Cairns.
Here in Cairns, all right, there
and
you
an
go.
Assistant Commissioner over the top of that.
We've got someone to look up to, don't we? Dot the I's, cross the T's.
Yeah.
Do it right. Yes, sir. No, sir. Three bags, four, sir.
Yep.
But it's a team effort. That's what it's all about, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. We have to work together with the community to get this job done and make people safe.
Exactly. Yep. Serve and protect.
Correct.
That's the word there. Well, great. Nice to meet you, Inspector David Rutherford. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
welcome
Trevor.
Anytime. Steve, always good to see you, my brother.
Yep. And big shout out to the Cairns PLOs, who's doing a great job there out in CBD Cairns. And
beautiful.
You know, our colleagues there at headquarters there, Maria and Karen and the team.
Yep, team effort.
Uncle Adrian Coolwell, you know.
Uncle Adrian Coolwell, yes.
Deadly fella.
And big shout out. And Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay, where is he?
He's currently I believe he's in transit today because he's taking his daughter to the airport.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's where I got the good
information. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well, big shout out to Senior Sergeant Len Delay. And thank you very much, Inspector David Rutherford. And we will talk soon, my friend.
Okay. Thank you,
Steve.
Thanks,
always Trevor. Good to see you, brother.
Thank you.
Take care.
Ciao.
A beautiful yarn with the boys in blue and fantastic yarn there, Police Liaison Officer Stephen Grant. And he's being the bodyguard for Cape Inspector, Cape York Inspector David Rutherford. And good to have that yarn and paint a picture how it all works in regard to seniority. And like we said, talking about Cape York, it's a big footprint. And you need a team of people. And there it is, meeting the man at the top there. Fantastic. So do your job, your mob, too deadly. And don't forget, police liaison officers, enjoy that journey. You can then venture on to becoming a police officer. And to you young ones out there, or middle-aged one, either way, you can become an officer as well. It's a good career pathway. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. Yeah, Galaku, meaning coconut. That's Nathan Garawuta, Witcher, that is. And this is your daily program, National Talk Black, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. About to sign off for you, mob. I thank you very much for your company. I'm back in the hot seat again tomorrow on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. 24/7, you can text a brother, 045-714-0550. And don't forget our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. A voice for our people, the Yarning Circle, so do utilise it, one-hour program. And we go across the nation, thanks to NERS. National Digital Radio Service, big shout-out to the team down there, Brisbane. House there at the Beamer office, Brisbane Digital Media Association. And big shout-out there to the Beamer mob as well. Fantastic, and a big hello and shout-out to all our First Nation radio stations across this beautiful country of ours, our Daily Black Network, and keeping our yarn strong. And a lot of our yarns are not happening on mainstream radio, so it's a very important space, very important vehicle, so do utilise your mob. But thank you for your time. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong, stay tuned for the news coming up via NERS, National Digital Radio Service, and we'll talk soon, your mob, too deadly.
Thinking about uni or TAFE, but unsure what study will be like? You're not alone. Plenty of our mob found the course they want and the support they were looking for at CQ University. thanks to campus locations across the country, as well as dedicated Indigenous support staff who are there to welcome, guide, and listen. See it, be it, we know you can. Start your journey at CQ Uni today.
Station sponsor. Hey you mob, did you know Child's World Early Learning Centre's free kindergarten approved program has been nurturing growth and learning for over 30 years with early childhood education for children aged from 6 weeks to kindergarten? To find out more, get in contact at 4045 4045.
Station sponsor.